It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's not here in Atlanta with me. He's in New York City. Wherever you might be, thank you for tuning in, for being locked in. If you're on the roads, the highways, the byways, you're patrolling, you're protecting, you're helping, you're serving, you're delivering, you're making ends meet, whatever you might be doing, thank you for hanging out. I'll be here with you for the next 3 hours. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've already had a great show. Thank you so much to former NFL veteran, media veteran as well, and still rolling. Thank you to Mike Golick for coming through to have a chat with us about tomorrow's NFL draft, which, by the way, you can listen to the first round of the draft, as both myself and Bart Winkler will be here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, giving you all the picks, delivering to you all the analysis. I will be in Atlanta, and Bart Winkler, he's going to be where the draft is taking place. He will be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We got you covered here on the Infinity Sports Network. How can you listen? Always on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. A little bit of news that came down the pipe not too long ago. This on the NBA side, no Jason Tatum tonight. Jason Tatum will not be in action for the Boston Celtics as they get ready to take on the Orlando Magic. The Celtics beat them already 103-86 in game one. They'll try to take game two without the man that helped them. Well, he helped lead them to a finals. I don't care if he didn't win the MVP. Hickey, is that accurate? I can say that, right? That's nothing crazy. He led them to the finals?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Okay. I know who got the MVP. It's Brown. Did Brown lead them there? No, right? No, he's not that best player. It's Tatum.
I mean, Tatum's the – it is tough because he had a few games where he was missing a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And he was letting that impact his defense. He had a lot of turnovers. But, like, you're right. Like, when you think the Celtics, it's, oh, Jason Tatum first.
Right, right.
It's definitely tricky in that situation.
Don't tell that to Jaylen Brown, okay?
That's
don't
true.
Say that because he will – you know, I'm still surprised. Do you – they're not going to finish their careers together, right? Not happening.
You're probably right.
Like, Brown is going to end up somewhere. Tatum will be a Celtic for life. One day, and their payroll is ridiculous, by the way. One day, Brown will say, I need to go do this on my own. We've had so much success. Management will look at the salaries and say, hey, we got to get rid of one of these guys. And it's going to be Brown. But anyway, they take on the Orlando Magic tonight. Not something that they have to worry about at all. Some other matchups that we have, the Heat and the Cavaliers are going to get after it in about 30 minutes. And then later on tonight, we have the Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets. The Warriors trying to take a 2-0 series lead against this young Rockets team. How about this? In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a chat. We're going to talk some Los Angeles Lakers basketball with Alan Sliwa. The Lakers were able to tie up their series against the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. And we want to know, like, how far does Allen think these Lakers will really go? Everybody talks about their lack of size, but they were able to hold Minnesota last night, having one of the more dynamic players in the league in Anthony Edwards. They were able to hold them to 85 points. Is that an anomaly? Or is that effort? You might recall, like, once the Lakers got Luka Doncic, it was presumed that their defense was going to go into the toilet. Not quite. For a stretch, they had the best defense in the entire NBA. And so we'll have this chat with Alan Sliwa in about 15 minutes. How legitimate are the Los Angeles Lakers? How legitimate of a chance do they have to really advance to the NBA Finals? We'll get there. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. And how about this? In another hour from now, because it is Wednesday, I'm going to be delivering to you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest quarterback busts in the NFL since the year 2000, not named Jamarcus Russell, because Jamarcus Russell is too damn easy. You think about Jamarcus Russell coming out of LSU. This man was, he's big. He can throw the ball like two football fields down. He liked donuts. He liked donuts. He didn't like working. He liked the money. He didn't like the work. He didn't like the study. He liked the money. And he's a bust. We know that. The Raiders screwed up when they got Jamarcus Russell. We don't have to wait too much longer to see what NFL teams screw up tomorrow. You know, we've been told ad nauseum that Cam Ward is going to end up going number one overall to the Tennessee Titans. What happens after that? Man, you might as well just throw it all up in the air. It's really the Browns who hold the keys. It's really the Browns who will help dictate what happens with the rest of the draft. We know the Titans have number one. Nobody cares what they do. Cam Ward is going there. What do the Browns do? Andrew Berry, the GM, has talked and waxed poetic about Travis Hunter. Oh, he's a great receiver. Oh, he's a great defender. Oh, I think he'd be a great wide receiver. We've heard it all. We also know the Browns are pretty, from an ownership perspective, they're pretty stupid. They ignored everything going on with Deshaun Watson. They gave him a crap ton of money. And now they're still in a space for market correction. If I'm the Browns, do I want to take a risk on a quarterback? Probably not. Do they want to be a safe bet and take an Abdul Carter? Pair him up with a Myles Garrett? Have a pass-rushing duo? Possibly. Do they want offense and defense in Travis Hunter? We're going to find out sooner than later. And how about this? Earlier today, Adam Schefter, he was actually on the Rich Eisen show here on the Infinity Sports Network, and he talked about the Browns. He said they're more likely to trade back into the first round than trade down from their number two spot. Listen to this.
I think they're fielding calls on two to a certain extent, but of the two scenarios, yes. What's more likely? Them trading back from two?
Yes.
Or trading up from 33? Probably neither, but if I was to say one, they're more likely to trade up from 33 than they are to trade out of two.
Yeah, they're going to stick around. Why would they move? These are the Browns. Hickey, it's almost a birthright for them to be selecting one, two, or three. Like, they're used to this.
They are. It's a space that they, unfortunately for them and their fans, know very well. But also, like, if you're going to trade down for who?
Exactly.
You're losing out on a top flight player to move down even like three spots or four spots. Everything that I read said there's like, you know, three, four, five great players, and that's kind of it. Why trade down and miss out on one of those top three, four, five players for what, an extra pick or two?
Yeah, that is absolutely one of the... You never know what happens. The Browns, I mean, the best case scenarios for them to go ahead and select Travis Hunter. I mean, anything after that. What would you do? You got to select Travis. You have to play him as a defender. And you got to give him a few snaps at wide out and go from there.
That's what I would do. Like, I don't agree with the pick, JR, if they are saying we're going to draft Travis Hunter number two and play him at receiver. Primarily. Because I think you can get better value at pick 33 if you want a receiver really that bad. Like, I'd rather take Abdul Carter and, you know, the third or fourth receiver in this draft class rather than take Travis Hunter at number two, play him mostly at receiver, sprinkle him in here and there at DB, which I'm not even sure how that's going to work in general. And then at 33... offensive line? Quarterback?
Man, well, come on, man. The Browns need everything. Everything imaginable. I mean, they are such a downtrodden franchise that anything that they get their hands on is actually going to be in a positive space. And what happens there will obviously have an impact on what the New York Giants do. I am ready to actually just get on with the draft. It's Hickey, what time do they fish? I know what time we're going to be on. We're going to start our show as normal at 6 p.m. Eastern. What time are they giving us the first pick? Is it going to be 8:05? Are they going to dilly-dally? It depends on the Tennessee Titans, no?
Oh, it does. And I expect them to dilly-dally for sure. I'm sure ESPN and the NFL are telling them, hey, maybe don't run up to the podium, even though I'm sure you've known who you wanted to draft now for weeks. My guess... We hear Roger Goodell say Cam Ward's name. I'm going to say at 8:18 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
You said 8:18?
8:18. Do you know what's going to happen, JR? 8 o'clock's going to come Eastern. We're going to have a big, giant open. You know, they're going to welcome some luminaries, maybe NFL or Packers-related luminaries, onto the stage. I believe they play the national anthem as well, so it's another 2 minutes. And my guess would be at 8:07, Roger Goodell is going to say, and now the Tennessee Titans are officially on the clock. They're going to probably put the pick in with like 2 minutes to go on the clock. You know, you got to get the jersey, you know, whatever, printed out, stitched up, whatever, get the card in. He walks out about 3 minutes later. I'm writing it down right now for so we can reference tomorrow. 8:18 is my prediction.
8:18. And this, oh my God, what are we doing? And we still have no, Shador's still not going to the draft. Is that how big of a drop people think he's going to have? He's not going to get into the first round at all. I mean, he was sitting around on an interview, you know, basically teasing going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who hold the 21st selection. I don't know. Maybe they're going to be in Deion's mansion somewhere. It's still crazy to me that may actually be a thing. For all these rumors that we have, Shador has to go in the first round, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I would be shocked if we're sitting here at 21, he's on the board, and the Steelers don't draft him. Like, I'm now, to be fair, I said that with the Saints a few weeks ago. I'd be shocked if he's sitting there at 9 and they don't draft him. But now it does feel like I don't know what else the Steelers could do outside of drafting him. He's sitting there at 21, where they could say that's the better idea. I think 21 is the floor. Yeah. I don't know how you what word you would use there. Floor, I guess, for Shador in this draft.
Yeah, well, the ceiling would be if he got selected, I don't know, 1, 2, or 3.
And, right, I guess you're right, yeah.
That would be the floor. And we have so many rumors that have come out via Diana Rossini. And so one of them is, and you share this with me, Hickey, the New York Giants are called the Tennessee Titans to try to move up to select number one overall. Mike Borgonzi of the Titans has already said, I am sticking with the number one pick. What the? Are the Giants that desperate for a QB not named Shador? I mean, that's the only indicator. Why the hell else would you move up to number one? Nobody makes those type of moves unless you want a quarterback. So I think the Giants are like, hey, if we're going to get a quarterback, it has to be at number one overall. It can't be at number three, and it has to be Cam Ward. I'm guessing the New York Giants don't have the draft capital to do so. Hickey, I don't think they walk away with a quarterback, certainly not in the first round.
I agree. Rounds 2 or 3, I could see that change, but I definitely agree. I'd be shocked if we're sitting here at pick 3 and the Giants take, I mean, Shador Sanders, I think, is the only option at number 3 for the Giants if they do go QB. I'd be shocked if we hear Shador's name with the Giants.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Diana Rossini, another note. The Raiders, we got John Spytek, who's basically, I don't want to say he's carrying bags for Tom Brady, but he really is. He's really been looking into Ashton Jeanty. And if I am the Raiders, why not? I mean, you've already started to go out and secure your quarterback. You gave Geno Smith a new contract. Josh Jacobs is still a year removed now from being with the Raiders. They did not want to pay him. Josh Jacobs is now in Green Bay, Wisconsin, yelling at everybody how they need a number one wide receiver, which is pretty hilarious. Ashton Jeanty, why not? I personally, just because I want a story, Hickey, I'd love to see Ashton Jeanty going to the Dallas Cowboys, but the Raiders certainly have to go ahead and fill that hole. They need offensive weapons, and we know having a running back can help even out the process of getting a ball down a field. It would be a process of plus for Geno Smith.
It would help them. It's a need they desperately have after finishing last year last in the NFL in terms of rushing yards. My concern, though, is just where is Jeanty going to run? Like, where are those holes coming from? This O-line stinks. And it's like, if you got no one blocking for you up front, how good can you be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would do it if I was the Raiders.
Well, I have always felt, and this ain't no surprise, that like Geno Smith and Pete Carroll are basically babysitting this team. Like, I don't know anybody. I don't think the Raiders, Tom Brady, come on. We all know this is a babysitting job right now, this minute, this second. And so the Raiders, what they do in the draft, picking Ashton Jeanty, I guess at least they have a piece for about 4 or 5 years until they can actually try to move things along. you know, what happens with the Steelers if they go out and select Shador? I mean, is now Aaron Rodgers going to retire? You know, Kirk Cousins. I think there's an expectation that Kirk Cousins will probably get traded at some point over the weekend. Like, there are a lot of question marks here as we get closer and closer to the draft. We had a great conversation with Mike Golic last hour. If you missed it, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. All these teams picking at the top of the draft, they stink. They're bum teams. They're trying to get to the top with new talent. Meanwhile, on the NBA side, we got a team that's loaded with talent. Hall of Fame talent, the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron and Luka. They're trying to go for a championship now. We're going to take a break. Before we get back to some more football, we're going to have a chat with Alan Sliwa. Covers all things Lakers for the Sliwa Show. We're going to get his thoughts on the Lakers and how realistic it is that they go out and compete for a title. We know they got to start off right now against these Timberwolves. Alan Sliwa on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we've had a lot of chat, a lot of conversations about the upcoming NFL draft tomorrow. The NBA playoffs are still rolling on, and we have some legitimate teams that are trying to push forward towards winning a championship. You know, on one end in the NBA, one of the larger stories is the fact that Luka Doncic went from the Dallas Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers. Bad for the Mavs and Nico Harrison, good for LeBron James, Laker fans, and the city. Now, the Lakers have tied up their series against the Minnesota Timberwolves 1-1. And to talk about the Lakers, what we've seen, what we can expect was yesterday defensively a blip. You can't hold a team to 85 every night. Joining us right now is Alan Sliwa, who covers the Lakers on the Sliwa Show. How are you, Alan?
I'm good, JR. Thanks for having me on, brother. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely well, man. I'm kicking it the best way possible. Question for you. After what we saw last night, aberration, we've seen this Lakers team play some defense, but last night an anomaly, no?
I think what you just said about, you know, you're obviously not going to depend on holding a team to 85 every night. It's the lowest point total Minnesota's had all season long. They had a couple 90s, but they've never had, I think only four times all season they were even held under 100, so significant to obviously be at 85. But I still think the Lakers should get credit for that. You know, I think they made proper adjustments. I think they really, really took Minnesota out of their game, shot about half the amount of three-pointers that Minnesota took in game one. That's not because Minnesota all of a sudden got shy of taking threes. It's because, you know, the Lakers understood watching guys like Naz Reid just completely dominating game one. Let's try to get these guys off the three-point line. Let's make them drive. Let's make them at least hesitate or have to dribble the ball a couple of times, come inside that three-point arc. And a part of this, give the Lakers credit. You could also say that Minnesota only shot 20% from the three-point line, but a combination, I think, of the two.
Alan Sliwa is here with us, covers the Los Angeles Lakers. You can catch the Sliwa Show on YouTube. Luka Doncic, we know how dynamic and amazing of an offensive player that he is. We saw what he did last year for the Mavericks. Maybe the Mavericks didn't see it. How has he kind of fit in now in the playoffs? It's been two games. It's a little bit different of intensity. It seemed like he had to figure things out from game one to game two.
I think if you look at the way the Lakers finished the regular season, the last five games he had for the Lakers, I mean, he was putting up numbers, real numbers. The numbers that, you know, make everybody think, like you just mentioned, the Dallas Mavericks, you know, that this may go down as one of the worst trades in NBA history. It was those type of numbers that we're accustomed to seeing from Luka. So I think the transition from regular season to the postseason has been kind of seamless for him. The only area of his game that we didn't like in game one is he only had one assist. But getting buckets and kind of finding ways to be efficient, he's still doing that. Yesterday was Luka, I think, accounted for. If you count the nine assists he had and the 31 points he had, Lakers only scored 94 total. You're talking about him equating to about 55% of the Lakers' offense. That's Luka Doncic, and that's still with, you know, obviously some other players contributing. I think his transition to the playoffs is seamless, and this is also a player that's also been to the conference finals with the Dallas Mavericks, has been to the NBA finals. with the Dallas Mavericks. So he's also a player that just has a ton of experience in big time games.
Oh, we know he has plenty of experience in big time games. He's paired up there with LeBron James. Alan Sliwa's here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast. When you think about things past Luka and then LeBron, we know they tried to make that trade for Mark Williams earlier in the season, or right after Luka trade, and then they rejected it due to his physical. And we got Jackson Hayes, who's barely playing here in this series. Ultimately, they knew they needed a big. We all know they needed a big. Do they have enough depth and size to really win a championship this year?
Yeah, it's funny. I just find it really tough right now to even think that far. And maybe that is part of the hesitation of saying, yes, they have enough. And I say that because here they are in a 1-1 series tie against Minnesota, a team that was the number 6 seed. And probably, I'm imagining this is going to be a long series. Okay, let's say you got past this series. Is it Golden State that's coming up next? Is it OKC after that? Is it Boston probably waiting in the NBA Finals? The path the Lakers got to take to win an NBA championship with an imperfect roster, I think we all agree with that. And I think, like you mentioned, this isn't a team that's had Luka on the roster for 2 years and they've just been building around him. They are kind of putting these pieces together. I know it's not ideal. And ultimately, if that doesn't, you know, equate getting to the NBA Finals, I think it's understandable. I think it would be more a surprise that they're there than they're not.
Alan Sliwa here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thinking about what we might see or what we can expect the rest of this series, we know what Minnesota does. We know what the Lakers do. Should we expect this to go, I don't want to say all 12 rounds? Are we getting 6 or 7 games out of this?
I think, you know, I had picked Lakers in 6 before the series started. And I think game 3 is going to be very indicative. I think to answer your question, yes. I think this is a dogfight. I think this is a, 6 games at the minimum. And don't be surprised if it goes 7, if it's back at Crypto with, you know, 1 game to decide who moves to the second round. These teams are, look, they're evenly matched. Where the Lakers have more star power than the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Timberwolves have much more depth than the Lakers do. They could depend on 8 guys. I think stylistically, the way Minnesota plays, there's definitely a let's muddy the water, let's try to play physical. I think the Lakers showed yesterday we could play that style. So I think there's a lot of talent on both sides. I think Chris Finch and J.J. Redick, 2 good coaches in the NBA, rolling up their sleeve. And it feels like this is one of the better first-round matchups in the NBA. And I think this one goes at least 6.
Well, Alan, you mentioned the coaching. You have Finch. It's good to see him able to walk on 2 legs this postseason.
Right.
And then we have J.J. Redick, who's ultimately still a novice here, especially as it relates to the postseason. How night and day is it from what the Lakers went through with Darvin Ham versus what they have with Redick now?
Yeah, you know, I think there are certain strengths that Darvin Ham had, but clearly J.J. Redick has put his imprint on this team and on this roster. He's got, a unique balance with a relationship with the players, a little bit of a screw a little loose at times where he just can't handle his emotions, which, to be honest with you, I kind of like. And then I think schematically, an X's and O's guy that I think is only going to flourish more and more with more years to come. So I do think it's a difference. I do think the way his style is compared to Darvin Ham, wildly different. And I think that impact's going to show as we, obviously go a little bit further in the playoffs. I will tell you this, for him never having coached in the postseason before, I didn't really feel like that was going to be an issue, which is a compliment to J.J. Redick, which shows that, no, I already think this guy's going to be prepared for the playoffs.
Alan Sliwa here with us, host of the Sliwa Show on YouTube, covers all things Los Angeles Lakers. Austin Reeves is certainly, he has taken a leap here. Now, people still can't believe the Dallas Mavericks and say, hey, if you want Luka, you got to give up this guy. What has he meant for the team, and how much room is there for him to continue to grow?
Well, it's interesting because I think that's what makes the Lakers, such an interesting team. And I think he's played, did not play a good game one. I thought yesterday he played a better game, even though he shot 0-6 from the three-point line, shot 50% from the field, 7-14, had 15 points, maybe 16 points, had 5 assists, had 5 rebounds. I think what, you know, what I like about Austin Reeves, and this is going to be such a key piece for the Lakers in this playoff run, however long it goes, you kind of know what Luka is. LeBron is going to do his thing. If Austin Reeves has some of the nights that he had most of the Lakers season, where he's around 25-6, 19-5-6, something along those lines, just think of how many teams have a third player that can do that, have a third player that could be that dangerous and can, oh, by the way, get to the free throw line, draw fouls, facilitate a little bit for other guys. He's a big piece. No question about it. He's a big piece. How much better can he get? I think for him, there's a little bit of, we talked about, hey, is LeBron and Luka going to be able to play together? I think for Austin Reeves, it's more just knowing when to be more aggressive, knowing sometimes when to kind of, all right, I take a little bit of a step back. Maybe sometimes he takes too much of a step back. But I think his, you know, obviously his value for the Lakers is only going to grow.
Oh, absolutely. I know you don't want to look too far ahead. What do you realistically think this team is going to do here this postseason?
Well, I think, you know, I definitely expect them to get out of the first round. And I think that's kind of got to be your minimum here. If you're a number three seed, I know a lot of teams were close to each other and everything else. Lakers ended up with 50 wins on the season. You definitely got to get out of the first round. What's the second round matchup look like? Because if you're telling me it's the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, maybe that's a coin flip series, even though I give the edge to the Lakers. If it's Lakers and the Rockets, I get that the Rockets are a number two seed. I think that series would be incredibly tough for the Lakers, but I'd still pick them there. I would say if I had to kind of just guess it, if they got to the Western Conference Finals, I really actually believe that you're kind of playing with house money after that. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that. And there's a, well, Lakers win championships and only championships. We'll see how far they can go. But I think if they were able to accomplish that this year, knowing that a whole new chapter with Luka starting, I think they're obviously going in the right direction.
Yeah. Hey, how about this final question for you, Alan? Win, lose, or draw for the Los Angeles Lakers this season, what are some of the possibilities of what they can do in the offseason to improve? Yeah. What do they look like from a cap perspective? How are they and where are they getting a big man from in depth? What do you think they have? Obviously, Luka opens up and widens the gap for LeBron. I'd be shocked if we get the LeBron go away, retire. That's certainly not happening, I think, at minimum for the next couple of years. What are the Lakers going to look like in the offseason? Everybody's always expecting a big splash.
Well, expect this. Expect that they'll have flexibility. You know, what you mentioned about how did Dallas not get more, or how did they not get that second first-round pick from the Lakers? You mentioned Mark Williams earlier, which means that Lakers still have that first-rounder plus a piece like Dalton Knecht. You got expiring contracts. Next year will be an expiring contract, as in they'll still be under contract next year, but, you know, obviously moving forward, those contracts are Rui Hachimura, Gabe Vincent, Maxi Kleba. They got players that also, I think, have some value in the league and also will be on expiring contracts, which usually have value across the NBA. I think the Lakers, listen, don't count them out of other players saying, hey, I want to play with Luka. I want to play with LeBron. I want to play that Lakers brand so I could get more visibility and more marketing and advertising. I think Pelinka's put himself in an unbelievable position this summer, and I think it's an attractive place to be. It's not just like, let me just make this point real quick. There are a lot of good players that play for the Dallas Mavericks that are part of that championship run.
Yeah.
PJ Washington and Gafford and Lively. These guys just can't, they're just not going to be the same player without Luka Doncic. So I think there's a lot of players around the league saying, I could heighten my profile by playing with Luka and playing with the Lakers. And that's part of the strength that this franchise has right now coming into the offseason.
Hey, without a shadow of a doubt, the Los Angeles Lakers always a massive destination. Hey, Alan, I still can't believe this. Hickey and I discussed it yesterday. I can't believe Bryce is getting ready to go to Arizona. And there's a possibility that at this time next year, we may be talking about this dude in the draft. Isn't that crazy? LeBron's kids just grew up like that?
Yeah, that, you know, and I actually thought, to be honest with you, I thought the Bronny thing was going to be more of a distraction. I thought, you know, what are they doing here? Where is this franchise going? To be honest with you, it really wasn't. Like, yeah, okay, he played in a few Laker games towards the end. I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't think it was an issue. And, you know, like you said about Bryce, you're right. Man, Bron is, he's made it happen, not only on the floor, but obviously leading his fam as well. And it's just, it's pretty amazing what he's accomplished. And I don't, who knows what he accomplishes the moment he decides that he's no longer playing in the NBA. We know that he's still going to be very, very involved.
Oh, very, very much so. Absolutely amazing. The Lakers always one of the biggest stories in the NBA, whether they're winning, whether they're losing. Good to see them on the winning side now also with Luka into the future. Hey, Alan, please fill us in. Where can people follow you, your work, the Sliwa Show on YouTube? Tell us.
Well, I appreciate that. If you go on YouTube and just type in Alan Sliwa or type in Hoops Talk, my channel will come up. I go live Monday through Friday at 8 a.m., and then I do a post-game show after every Lakers game as well.
Hey, Alan, we appreciate the time. I hope you got a whole lot more post-games for the next several months, okay?
I appreciate you. Thank you, man.
No doubt about it. That Alan Sliwa covers all things Los Angeles Lakers. You can find him, as he just said, via the Sliwa Show on YouTube. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. When we come back, I do want to fill you in. We talked basketball. We talked about you know, some of the rumors that we have as it relates to the NFL draft tomorrow. I mean, we got rumors on the active NFL players as well. It's not like everybody is set up and situated. We have several players who are looking for a payday, looking for contracts. They're looking for big money. I'm going to tell you about one player who wasn't happy today about a report as it relates to his contract. I'll tell you who that is on the other side of the break. Of course, it's Wednesday. At the top of the hour, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. With the draft coming up, we'll talk about some of the biggest quarterback busts over the last 25 years, besides Jamarcus Russell. So we have a lot to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Alan Sliwa for joining us, host of the Lakers Show. Well, the Sliwa Show covers all things Lakers on YouTube. I need to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We also, unfortunately, just got news. I read and heard about this earlier in the day that Steve McMichael from the Chicago Bears has passed at 67 years old. He was diagnosed with ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease, back in 2021. I saw earlier today that he wasn't doing well. And typically you hear that about a lot of folks. You've heard about Steve McMichael being in ill health for the past several years. And unfortunately, he passed today at the age of 67. He was on that Chicago Bears 1985 championship team. I still kind of find it kind of crazy. We just heard this from Rich Ackerman as well. I remember this guy was out there wrestling with Ric Flair when his career ended. I don't know what Ted Turner was doing. He had Kevin Green. He had Steve McMichael. And I'm trying to figure out, what are some other athletes that have jumped into professional wrestling? Hickey, does Shaq count? Does he count? Right? I guess he does.
If Shaq counts, then Gronk counts, right?
Oh, Gronk? Yeah, Gronk was doing something WWE. I don't know.
He's at one of the SummerSlam. He's at one of those big-time events where he like kind of hopped the fence and was body-slamming people.
Right. SummerSlam, WrestleMania, something like that.
Right.
There was nothing... Oh, man. Lawrence Taylor did WrestleMania. He teamed... who the heck did he... I forgot who he teamed up with. I don't know. But Lawrence Taylor did it in the early 90s. Lawrence Taylor... Am I missing anybody? Hickey Carmelone and Dennis Rodman. They had a wrestling match.
Really?
Yes. Hickey, let me tell you something. If you're ever bored on a Saturday afternoon, go ahead and Google who was in that fight. I think I saw it live. And it was at a race, not a race car convention, like a dirt bike well, not even dirt bike. I'm going to get angry emails. It was at a hey, y'all's going to call it bicycle convention. That's going to be even.
Oh, Lord.
Biker, it's a biker thing, Hickey. Come on now. Give me a break.
But I guess this is different times, but like, what? It was a biker convention that he just happened to, or they just happened to have like some WWE matches at?
Yeah, so this was actually Ted Turner's WCW, yeah. Oh. And so Hulk Hogan teamed up with Dennis Rodman. Yeah, you heard me correctly, yes. Hmm. Dennis Rodman teamed up with Hulk Hogan to take on Karl Malone and Jay Leno.
Well, you know what? That was believable. And okay, this is making sense here. You're talking about the, you know, pick one guy that does not belong.
Yeah. Who is that? Is it Jay Leno?
Oh, I was thinking Hulk Hogan for sure, right?
Hulk Hogan doesn't belong on in what regard?
No, it was a joke. Yes, it was massive guys, and then here's little old Jay Leno.
Right. Yeah.
Three athletes and Jay Leno.
Well, the thing is, you had Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman beefing in the NBA. I think there's actually a 30 for 30 probably exists about this. Like, if we take a look at, this had to have been 1998, because I think there was a point in time where Dennis Rodman skipped out on, like, practice to do, I don't know what the hell, because this isn't, this might have been in June or July. Like, let's think about this. Could you see, imagine Kawhi Leonard, maybe bad example. Hickey, give me somebody who would skip out on it. Ja Morant, right? Right?
Zion Williamson.
Zion. Well, he's not in the play. Does he know what the playoffs are?
No.
So if we take Ja Morant, imagine Ja Morant in between games said, I'm going to go help, I don't know, who is this? Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. Could you imagine if he got his ass whooped in game one and he got on the plane to Vegas and was at WrestleMania? Could you imagine today in 2025?
He would probably get traded, honestly. Like, right, I think right there they would cut him.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's Dennis Rodman had his own rules. And so Dennis Rodman is just like, hey, NBA Finals? You thought Draymond doing a podcast was crazy. Think about Dennis Rodman saying, I'm going to go fight. Well, I don't know when this was, because Karl Malone was there too, Hickey. I don't know. Dennis Rodman did his own thing.
Maybe it was in the offseason.
This had to be after the season, right?
But that's like, you know, Ja Morant and Draymond Green teaming up together for something like this.
What, to do a WWE fight?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan versus Jay Leno, Karl Malone. And how about this? Karl Malone might be, well, Karl Malone and Hulk Hogan might be the most disliked people out of this whole group.
Not wrong about that.
Yeah. What was this? The show was called Road Wild, Hickey. Road Wild 1998.
Hmm.
Yeah, when was this? It had to be July. Let's see. August. So it's the off-season.
Okay. Off-season, okay. That's
fair. It took place during the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And the main event was a tag team match. Jay Leno defeated the leader of the NWO, Hulk Hogan, when Jay Leno pinned Bischoff. Okay, Kevin Eubanks, the guy who used to play the band at the Tonight Show, was there. So, whatever. Big deal. We need more professional athletes back into wrestling. Rest in peace to Steve McMichael. That's a roundabout way of saying, yeah, I remember him. I was a little kid, but I remember him playing football. And then I remember him transitioning into football or wrestling, and I'm like, why the hell is this guy with Ric Flair? This is a crazy thing. So rest in peace to Steve McMichael. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I did tell you about an NFL player. I mentioned one. Not happy with his the reports around his contractual situation. That's George Kittle. We'll get into George Kittle. We'll talk about Shannon Sharpe dealing with his own unfortunate incident right now. And, of course, in a few minutes, it is Wednesday, and the draft is tomorrow. And so we have a very special edition of a top six list, as we do every Wednesday. And today, we're going to take a look at the top six quarterback busts over the last 25 years. That is, since the year 2000. What NFL QBs got drafted, stunk, and, I mean, what else can I say? A lot of these guys are, well, they've been out of the league. That's why they are busts. And we're not including Jamarcus Russell, because Jamarcus is too easy to put on this list. It's a new top six list at the top of the hour. Hickey, we went back and forth on this. We didn't miss any busts, did we? Nobody?
No, I think we nailed it. I think for the category and kind of like trimming it down of really the last 25 years, I think we did a good job with it.
Yeah. No Mark Sanchez, right? No?
Mark Sanchez avoided, well, a lot of Jets quarterbacks somehow miraculously avoided the list. Impressive.
Yeah, we're going to come through with the top six list. Quarterback bust, biggest bust over the last 25 years, not named Jamarcus Russell. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.